This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
And if you actually believe that you can somehow, through the system, hold secretive national policing agencies like the NSA to any form of accountability, I want to hear from you. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Or if you're of the belief that it's totally fine that these agencies can have what they call the state secrets privilege, and hide behind that privilege, we have no idea.
Well, it's for the public good and public health.
That's what they claim. And are you someone who actually believes that? Are you, not you, Bonnie, but you, the listener, are you someone who actually believes that this claim of state secrets is legitimate? When you don't even know what they're talking about? What those state secrets are?
This they're smarter than me, and they know more than me, so I shouldn't just keep my pretty little head down and let them take care of me the best way that they see fit.
The sad thing is there really are people who think that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if any of those people are listening to this show, but if you are and you really believe that, I mean, you and I
it's
cannot get along.
It's called being a cuck to the government.
Yeah, you and I cannot get along. We cannot live with people like that. To people that actually believe the government is out there protecting them. That they are out there somehow magically keeping them safe from, you know, terrorists from around the world. This is such a load of garbage. You know, there's if a terrorist wants to strike where you live, there's nothing that's going to stop them from doing that. 9/11 proved that. Oh, well, they got more government now than they did before 9/11. The Chinese government just flew, apparently, a balloon over the entirety of the United States with nothing done to it until it finally crossed the entire U.S. I mean, the whole idea that the federal government is, like, on the ball and is going to keep you safe is pure fantasy.
Just watch, like, on YouTube or something or a podcast, a few of those true crime shows where they talk about crime that actually happened, especially murder. You're bound to find at least one in the first, like, five you listen to where they're like, people were outraged because it came to light that the FBI was watching them this whole time. And
before they committed some sort of violent crime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The FBI knew about this. The ex-wife called and gave tips multiple times saying he's going to kill someone, and the FBI ignored it. I mean, like, that happens so commonly.
Often. So if you are one of those people and you want to call in here, the number is 603-283-6160. If you are someone who is frustrated with the lack of accountability of the federal government, then you must ask yourself, are you also ready to secede from the United States? And if you're not, then what's your plan? Like, how are you going to change this? Are you going to vote harder? Are you going to vote for somebody different in 2024? Somebody else besides the Republicans and Democrats and who they put up? Because I'll tell you what, the Libertarians aren't going to win.
Oh, well, I can't stick my neck out and possibly get any, you know, heat come down on me because I have children and I love them. So I want them to grow up in a more and more tyrannical world until they're slaves.
That was literally an opinion of somebody who called this weekend.
Wow. I mean, I've heard it a million times.
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't say voting is sticking your neck out, but the problem, of course, is that you don't have anyone to vote for. No one who's running for Congress, for the most part, with the exception of maybe Thomas Massey or something, no one who's running for Congress is seriously going to reform anything. It's just not going to happen. So, in other news, you know, what can you do about this? Well, you can start talking about independence, and you can start working towards independence in whatever state you happen to be. If you're a libertarian, then you really ought to get to New Hampshire. If you're a conservative, you ought to move to Texas. If you're a liberal, you ought to move to California. Those are probably the three hottest, you know, most successful secession movements out there. And so if you truly believe that independence is the solution to getting out from under the federal government's oppressive thumb, then you should be in one of those three places, depending on what your politics are. Texas is doing very, very well. There's a lot of people in Texas who support the question of independence for Texas. Like, I think the poll last year showed 66% of Texans supported independence, if I recall correctly. I don't know if California's been polled on that question specifically. New Hampshire was like 29%. But, you know, I don't want to live in Texas, so we want I don't want to live in a conservative place like that.
Years of, you know, like their uncle used to always talk about how we need to secede because of the secession has been conversation longer there because of the fact that they did secede or mm-hmm. whatever. And I had Texas history in seventh grade.
Did they secede from Mexico?
I don't know.
Is that what it was?
I really don't know.
You can comment. The number is 603-283-6160.
My point was just they've had the conversation going longer. It's not that they're, like, smarter or something. The more we keep talking about it in a common sense fashion, explains people, you know, why it's the only option.
Indeed. That's what's important, is getting that conversation. The conversation has to continue. It has to become much more widespread, which is it's something for you to change. If you're not talking with your friends and you're not talking with your family and you believe in independence, if you're not talking with your coworkers about it, now's the time to start talking about it. And there's no better time than now that national divorce is in the news. It's getting some controversy. It's getting some discussion. It's time to take a side. Number 603-283-6160. Bonnie, you have a story tonight about the COVID so-called World Health Organization, that situation. Apparently the Biden administration is going to be handing over some kind of authority to the WHO with regards to future diseases or
pandemic policy.
Okay.
And the WHO is the World Health Organization. It's in Geneva, I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure. This is from the Epoch Times. Biden admin negotiates deal to give WHO authority over U.S. pandemic policies. The Biden administration is preparing to sign up the United States to a legally binding accord with the World Health Organization that experts say would give the Geneva-based United Nations Health Agency the authority to dictate America's policies during a pandemic.
Which they kind of already were doing.
They were, like, suggesting it, and everybody was like, look, we have to do this because they suggested it, yeah. And they're, you know, experts. So you're right, but...
But this would somehow make it more direct?
Yeah, it would be like more like they just, you know, implement a state of emergency instead of Biden being like, well, I saw the guidelines from the WHO, and because of that, it's a state of emergency.
Okay.
You know?
That's scary.
Despite widespread criticism of the WHO's response to the COVID pandemic, U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra joined the WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom. Whoa, I can't say his last name.
Okay.
It's like Ghebreyesus. In September 2022, to announce the U.S. WHO Strategic Dialogue. Together, they developed a platform to maximize the longstanding U.S. WHO partnership and to protect and promote the health of all people around the globe, including the American people.
Mm. Well, you know, to me, people's health should be protected by their own choices. They should have a doctor or more than one doctor that they trust, that they go to get advice, and that should be done on a grassroots basis. Not from a top-down basis, which is what we saw with the COVID situation, where we were told that if it doesn't come from the government's doctor, Dr. Fauci, then it's not the truth. If it's not coming from the WHO or the CDC, then it's misinformation and you shouldn't believe it, even if your own doctor is telling it to you. And we saw doctors being punished by licensing boards and things like that. And I suspect what you're talking about here, Bonnie, is going to take us closer to that. We'll continue with your story here in a moment. But David is on the line in San Francisco, probably someone who supports having the World Health Organization tell him what to do. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Well, there you go, lying again. I was just looking at factcheck.com, and they say that what you're saying is total bull. Let's see, the headline, WHO has no authority to dictate U.S. health policy, by Catalina Jaramillo.
Well, I didn't say that they do. I said that they're in negotiations so far.
Fact-check said it, well, Bonnie. Therefore, it must be true what David's reading, because somebody called Fact-Check has looked at this case.
Doesn't sound like something you could put into a college paper or anything.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, it's hard to tell whether or not libertarians are ass kissers to the big money or whether they're paranoids. And either way, it has nothing to do with united we stand, divided we fall.
Nope, it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and it's apparent that...
Because if we divided, we'd be much better off in New Hampshire than we are... united with the United States. Well, you guys siphon money from us, so I don't know what you're even talking about.
Well, that's not true at
We're
all.
We're a donor state. That is true.
The red states.
Fact check. Not true
states.
What David's saying. Fact
check. Is California not a donor state?
California pays for the red states.
No, I was saying that the federal government siphons money from us.
Well, they certainly do.
So what I was going to ask is, do libertarians believe in performance bonds?
What is that?
Well, if you wanted to build a brand new bridge, if you wanted to build a highway, if you wanted to build and you told the contractor that they had to put up an insurance policy that they were building it on the according to specs, and that if there were any problems, the performance bond was going to deal with the money before the lawsuits dragged on for 20 years. So do libertarians...
Libertarians believe in contracts, so sure. I mean, I don't know why you're making this such a big deal. Libertarians could agree to an arbitrator before signing a contract that they would say, yes, if you break these conditions, then we're going to go to this arbitrator, and if performance bonds is part of that, sure. I don't know why you think people can't build things without the government. The government just contracts a third party to build the roads and buildings and bridges. Can you hang up on him, Ian? He's
no,
so
no,
annoying.
I'm actually interested in hearing what he has to say here.
Well, reason I bring it up, Norfolk Southern, the railroad that poisoned the river that's leading down to the drinking water of Cincinnati, Norfolk is basically running everything on the cheap. They offered the town of East Palestine $25,000 tops. They offered all of the people that were damaged $1,000, but if you signed that check, that you would give away your right to sue them in the future.
Sounds like a crappy deal.
Oh, a very crappy deal.
Yeah.
And they dragged it on, and they were hoping it was going to fall off the headlines, but it hasn't fallen off the headlines. And now Norfolk Southern, who had 700 derailments last year, now every city in America better be putting performance bonds on Norfolk Southern, because they are proving themselves to be such a worthless company that their credit rating should be collapsing, and their basic standards of business practices require performance bonds.
Some of their basic standards of practice were mandated by Biden. So, like,
they were mandated by science.
The train people were... not boycotting. What's the word?
Train people?
The people who work in trains were not boycotting. The other word.
They're boycotting?
Striking.
Oh, striking.
And Biden forced them to go to work. They were saying, look, we don't have enough people, this dangerous conditions and stuff like that. And Biden forced them to go to work and said, yay, America. So next question has nothing to do with libertarians, idiot.
Well, I don't think name calling is appropriate here, Bonnie. You don't want to lower yourself to David's level by doing that. Now, David, I think we actually do, despite Bonnie being pretty hostile towards you here, I think we actually agree on a lot of things with regard to the East Palestine situation.
But he didn't come into the conversation just saying, what do you guys think about this? He was like, libertarians are wrong.
Yes, he's
I've been
he's
talking
hostile.
About how There's the no Ohio situation is crazy, and the government also is part of what was crazy, not just the railroad.
Well, who runs the railroads? Partially the government.
Well, who decided to explode it? The government.
No, the railroad's not run by the government. The government has
just highly regulated.
The government has regulations for interstate traffic, interstate commerce. And the fact is that if they've got defective equipment crossing state lines and that they refuse to repair equipment, like they, if you're keeping up with East Palestine, they knew 20 miles in advance in Cleveland, that train was shooting sparks to such a degree that that it was a danger. Now, apparently, that railroad got rid of any of the safety equipment on the train that would have noticed all of those sparks. They, years ago, at least 20 years ago, probably during the Reagan administration, got rid of cabooses. And the guy in the caboose would have been able to spot those sparks, and but the railroads decided to run things on the cheap so long that they've gotten cavalier even about the electronic equipment on the trains. And the idea that it's an issue that of public safety, that if a train is going to go highballing through a neighborhood with unmarked cars. And as one of the big problems of this is that they were carrying chemicals that were unmarked as hazardous wastes and or hazardous material.
What would have changed if it was marked as hazardous material? Nothing. So what has changed in the last, however many years of the government getting more and more and more regulating of the train industry? Obviously, it's not working. Obviously, these people are still, cutting corners. I don't understand what your point is.
Well, first
he wants
of all,
more regulations.
More regulations.
Okay.
If we just labeled them as toxic chemicals, this would have never happened.
Well, first of all, apparently, if you were to look at it as a terrorism incident where you've got a tank car full of some chemicals that are unmarked. Now, what company is trying to transport chemicals across state lines unmarked? Especially volatile chemicals.
Yeah, it seems like a really bad idea to me. But I mean, ultimately, putting more regulations on this subject isn't going to necessarily solve the problem here, especially if it's the regulators that are actually protecting these railways from liability. And that's my question. I don't know the answer to this. And if there's somebody out there that...
Why was David calling in when the actual workers who know about what happens with these trains day in and day out were striking and didn't want to work, and Biden said, no, you're going to work anyway. America, Jack.
Well that's not entirely true. What happened
was... Fatcheck.com said it's not entirely true, Ian.
Well, about 80% of the striking workers, a couple of dozen of different railroad companies, almost 80%, some 80-something percent of the railroad workers had settled with their companies. But there were a couple of outstanding companies that were refusing to settle anything. And so basically what Biden did was he said, okay, you're going to come up to the standards that they have agreed with so far.
And did those standards make it to where East Palestine didn't happen? No. The regulations don't work. I don't know why we were still talking to this guy.
Well, the regulations don't work because ultimately the people who are regulating are probably part of the companies that are being regulated in a lot of cases. And, of course, centralization tends to fail, and this is one of the reasons why it tends to fail. Now, again, my question is what kind of liability does Norfolk, whatever they're called, Norfolk Southern, what do they have? Because I know that when it comes to other disasters, like the BP oil spill that happened out in the Gulf of Mexico, the federal government protected BP from liability up to, I believe, or above $75 million, if I'm recalling correctly. It was a shockingly
it was
small.
Billion.
Huh?
It was probably millions would be nothing.
That's what I'm saying. It was like nothing that came out of that the BP company for any kind of damages to people's property or whatever, and it was a federal government regulation or protection or whatever you want to call it that essentially protected that company from liability. So it wouldn't surprise me to find out that Norfolk Southern was being protected by the very government that's supposedly regulating them into making it so they have no real liability, where they can just hand out these checks for $1,000 and call it a day.
I mean, they're at least partially protecting them. The EPA went out and tested, didn't test for dioxins, and told the people that live there, oh, it's perfectly safe and everything's fine. They're protecting them from outrage,
That's
at least.
That's a good point, because if the government agency, and thank you, David, for the call, if it's required that the government has to find some sort of problem before they'll be held liable, then if the government's not finding the problem, then they can't be. I don't know what the regulations are or aren't for this particular industry, but maybe CW knows something. In Arizona, you're on Free Talk Live, CW.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
Man, we miss San Francisco man on our show.
Oh, did he used to call your local shows?
Oh, my God. In the height of the COVID pandemic, the supposed pandemic, he would call and rattle on some stupid statistics about San Bernardino County, where our station's located. Oh, you know your numbers are up and this and that, and you should blah, blah, blah.
I got this from factcheck.com.
He would fearmonger every day about COVID and COVID.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I just don't understand why these people who are so afraid can't just go be afraid in their own houses. Why do they need other people to be so afraid?
Well, I'm sure he's cowering in his house alone with nobody.
wearing a mask. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just, it's nice to hear his voice again. The voice of reason.
He's my least favorite caller, and that's saying a lot.
I don't mind it when he calls in because I like hearing from people that don't agree with us, and I understand he can be
hostile.
It's different
to talk to somebody who just doesn't agree with us but is open to talking. He's just an a-hole.
Yeah, a lot of times he won't have a conversation. That's true.
I'm yelling at you guys through my radio, but you can't hear it. I disagree with you guys a lot. But you know what? That's what's fun about this live stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's the point of calling in. It's just like I don't like being talked to like an idiot from an idiot who's winning.
CW, what were you yelling at the radio about tonight?
Oh, no, not tonight. Just sometimes when people talk on your show, I just want to yell and yell. You know, just,
you should call in.
Just call in, man.
This is free. I mean, you seem like a cool guy who wouldn't just call in and say, like, libertarians, God.
Well, you know what? I'm not much of a political type of guy anyways. I just really know I hate listening to left-wing radio. That is some of the worst crap in the world.
Yeah, I've never really listened to it. I know there's a handful of shows out there. Tom Hartman is one of them. A lot of them have gone off the air entirely. They just don't exist anymore. There used to be like left-wing, full-on progressive talk stations, and 90% of those are completely gone now. Hey, CW, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. If you know more about these railroad companies and what level of liability they may or may not have and how they're protected by the government, would love to hear from you. You can join us. Bring up whatever's on your mind as well. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
USA News Update. The U.S. Supreme Court is set to hear the case of President Biden's student loan forgiveness plan tomorrow. It would wipe out approximately $400 billion in debt. That program would cancel $10,000 in college debt for those earning less than $125,000 per year and up to $20,000 for those who receive Pell Grants. When it comes to the origins of COVID-19,
there is not a consensus right now in the U.S. government about exactly how COVID started.
That's National Security Spokesman John Kirby responding to a new report from the Energy Department that concluded with low confidence COVID leaked from a Wuhan, China lab. Former President Jimmy Carter's niece says he's still got some time in him. Carter is now receiving hospice care in his Plains, Georgia home. Leanne Smith told Fox News that Carter is talking, eating, and even asked her to drop off some soup. John Schaefer, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. Dean and Bonnie here tonight. You can join us online. Just head on over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that you'll find there. Once again, that's freetalklive.com. We do have our own social media platform. You can join it at social.freetalklive.com. You can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners there. When you sign up, the site will ask you like why you're joining the site. There's a little entry box that you can fill in whatever you want. Just put something in there related to Free Talk Live, and we'll know that you're actual real human being and not some sort of robot that's trying to spam us. That's the reason that question exists. And so head over to social.freetalklive.com. You can do that. Since David called in about this railroad situation, I know, Bonnie, you looked into the East Palestine thing pretty in-depth. I know on a couple of the shows it got some coverage. It was just a couple nights that I wasn't here, so I actually have not had a chance to talk about it.
But imagine looking into it at all, and the conclusion you come up with is if they would have just been regulated a little harder, this would have never happened.
Well,
if they would have just labeled these things as potentially dangerous chemicals, this would have never happened.
Well, I mean, David in San Francisco isn't wrong in the point that
companies do tend towards lowering costs, right? Like, oh, okay, well, we don't need the caboose anymore, so we're just going to get rid of that. And I'm sure they had their reasons for that. But certainly cost cutting is an important aspect of making sure your profits are as large as possible.
But the thing he doesn't understand is if it was just a market without regulations, they couldn't just go lobby the government and be like, this is what we want to do. We'll do this. You give us X. Instead, they would have to actually have repercussions for the things they were doing.
Well, and that's where I wanted to go with it, was that in the regulated marketplace, they can, like you said, lobby the government for special favors. And that's one area that I'm just not clear on in this particular case of what kind of protections these railroad companies are actually given by the government regulations. Because they most assuredly do exist, but I just don't know what. It would be an interesting, libertarian kind of investigative journalism story, and maybe Reason or somebody is working on something like this to kind of tell the whole story about, well, how was it government regulations actually led to these train derailments being more likely, right? Like, who's really dropping the ball here, and why is it being dropped? So according to a Daily Mail article, Norfolk Southern has given just $3.8 million in aid directly to the citizens of East Palestine, as top brass tell its investors that its insurance covers up to $1.1 billion in liability. So apparently there would be a lot of money here, in theory, under their insurance policy that they have, but yet they've only paid out $3.8 million. So why is it that the coverage isn't covering more? What is it that, you know, how is the government's involvement in this industry, which is, as you pointed out, Bonnie, a regulated industry, you know, train travel, how is government involvement limiting their liability in some way? And again, I don't have the answers to this. I'm not asking you. I'm not suggesting you might know either. But it is clearly something here. They point out that the CEO of Norfolk Southern got $4.36 million in 2021. So the amount of money paid to the people of East Palestine hasn't even hit the amount of money they pay their CEO in one given year. So why is it is not all the way up to $1 billion? They're probably relying on some sort of assessor. I presume it's the insurance company themselves. But again, who knows what level of government regulatory involvement there is in the insurance side of this business. If the railway industry was actually operating in a free market, then I think we would see a more robust insurance situation. Like, if it was Norfolk Southern's fault, because remember, I've heard about the sparks, too. Our caller David mentioned the sparks. I'm sure you've heard about that or seen some of the images of that. And that was a thing with this particular train. I think it got noticed after the fact. I don't know if anybody noticed it during the sparks happening. But, that sort of thing, maybe the company would take it more seriously if it knew that it would be held up to the $1.1 billion on this insurance policy. Because usually what will happen, right, like if you have an insurance policy and you violate that policy, if the insurance company comes in and said, well, you guys had these sparks from the whatever it was that was causing it. And
you did nothing about it. You
could have found it if you were doing your regular inspections that you're supposed to do under our insurance coverage. But you cut the jobs of the people that were doing the inspections or whatever. Right. Like, I'm speculating on what might have happened here. And then the insurance company is going to raise their rates. They're going to increase the amount of money that they have to pay to continue to cover this company, and or possibly cancel their coverage entirely. And then if they're uninsured, they wouldn't be able to operate their business. So, again,
or in a free, completely free society, uninsured trains wouldn't get customers, like the people who were
whoever hired them to move their product would not.
They would just be
them.
Like, I don't want to transport my materials with an uninsured company. And if they did, and something like East Palestine happened, well, people will probably be able to get more repercussions than $1,000 out of these people.
I mean, it could potentially sink the company, some sort of disaster like this. So, we don't have a free market in this particular area. And you and I at least don't know all the details on how ugly the underbelly of the regulatory system is for this. But people like David, they cannot see freedom as the answer. They just, that's not even an option on the table for these types of people. All they can think about when they see bad behavior by a company is, well, we just need more regulations. We need more government involvement in whatever the given industry is. They ignore the fact that every time this happens, the industries capture the regulators. I mean, that happens in the pharmaceutical industry.
The thing about freedom is freedom always comes with responsibility. Like, those two things go hand in hand. They're opposite ends of the same poles. And people like David think too much freedom is just the end result you get from too much freedom is just CEOs or whatever of big companies doing whatever they want. That's what freedom is, and that's why we got to be against it and regulate it away. But in reality, true freedom would also include the fact that they would need to have more responsibility. Mm-hmm. But the regulations are what regulate that away. I mean, and the government protections, it gets rid of that. So it's not true freedom.
It's the illusion. Regulation's the illusion of holding these people responsible.
Right. And libertarians are for insurance. I'd much rather just have an insurance company, telling me whether or not they will still insure me when I'm building a building than just have the government saying, nope, not up to code, you know, so you can't do that. Much rather an insurance company that actually has, like,
Something on the line. Yeah, and so we've seen the regulatory capture is a thing that it's not just something that happens in the pharmaceutical business. It happens all the way down to, like, your local restaurant board. You know, the group of restaurateurs who decides what the rules are for health, safety, or inspections on running restaurants and things like that. It's the people who are in that business that set those rules up. And this happens across the board in various different industries. So, you know, the idea that you could somehow protect a regulatory agency from regulatory capture is just, it's pure fantasy. It's like you're not even paying attention to what actually goes on out there if you think you can do that. Because it keeps happening. Because the incentives.
Just, like, people like David are just imagining and daydreaming that there are just these people out there who, well, I'm just a really good person. And you see, I just want what's best for the public health. Those are people who get hired and become regulatory people. That, you know, that's what makes up the SEC. Just people who are just good and have good intentions and want the whole world to be happy. That's totally what the SEC is full of and all these other regulatory agencies.
Yeah, it's not like these people are saints. They work for the government, and they are going to be persuaded by $1 million or whatever, right? Like some railroad company comes to the regulators and offers them $2 million apiece cash or something like that and just look the other way or do what we want you to do, make sure we cut some corners.
Moral person who just happens to accidentally get a job at one of these places is going to be welcomed in with open arms by these other regulators who've been doing this for years. That's like part of, that's, you know, one of the props of, or perks of this job is, you know, you get money from the people who want you to regulate a certain way. And then somebody comes in and is like, no, we need to make sure that they're watching out for their sparks. The other people are going to be like, get out of here.
Right. They'll end up dead or something like that.
Probably.
So, if you want to comment, you're welcome to join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. So, Bonnie, you were telling us that apparently the Biden administration is teaming up with the WHO, and they're going to give them, according to the Epic Times, some sort of level, a higher level of influence, I guess, over what the pandemic-related policies are here in the United States. Even though the U.S. CDC was basically working hand-in-hand with the WHO during COVID, I guess what they're saying in this story, and I think you have a little more you wanted to share, but what they're saying is this will somehow increase their ability to control what goes on in the United States.
Yeah, the United States government was having a discussion with the WHO about that, and it says these discussions and others spawned the zero draft of a pandemic treaty. So that's the name of it, the zero draft.
Hmm.
Published on February 1st, which now seeks ratification by all 194 WHO member states. A meeting of the WHO's intergovernmental negotiating body is scheduled for February 27th to work out the final terms, which members will then sign. Written under the banner of the World Together Equitability, never heard that word, equitably, okay. The World Together Equitably. The Zero Draft grants the WHO the power to declare and manage a global pandemic emergency. Once a health emergency is declared, all signatories, including the United States, would submit to the authority of the WHO regarding treatments, government regulations such as lockdowns and vaccine mandates, global supply chains, and monitoring and surveillance of populations.
So wait. Read that to me one more time, because I was actually just pulling up the WHO's own website talking about the Zero Draft. So,
Wait. I thought that the
Factcheck.com
said this isn't true.
Anyway, what is it that, last sentence?
Once a health emergency is declared, all signatories, including the United States, would submit to the authority of the WHO regarding treatments, so treatments for COVID-19, for example, government regulations such as lockdowns and vaccine mandates, global supply chains, and monitoring and surveillance of populations.
Disturbing.
The question of whether an international treaty has the power to dictate domestic policy without lawmakers' approval is a contentious one. Quote, treaties don't override our Constitution, wrote Rep. Thomas Massey from Kentucky on Twitter. If a treaty purports to supersede our Constitution, that treaty is unenforceable, Massey wrote. But others are wary of international agreements that could centralize authority or the response to pandemics. Quote, they want to see a centralized vaccine and medication-based response and a very restrictive response in terms of controlling populations, unquote.
Is that Massey again?
David Bell, a public health physician and former WHO staffer specializing in epidemic policy, told the Epoch Times. They get to decide what is a health emergency, and they are putting in place a surveillance mechanism that will ensure that there are potential emergencies to declare.
It's hard to imagine things being any worse than they were in COVID. I mean, because it seemed like everyone was playing by the same playbook anyway. I know the WHO came out at one point and claimed that they, I don't know if they said they were wrong about lockdowns, but they said that lockdowns were not working in the way that that they had hoped that they would work. But that's not to say that they wouldn't try that again if, you know, if they had the opportunity. It's just like things were so homogenous.
Maybe they just need to do it harder. Maybe they just need to lock down harder. I mean, regulations don't work, haven't been working, so we need to regulate harder.
Well, that would be the answer of people like David, who called
earlier.
Yeah,
lockdowns haven't been working, so we need to lock down harder.
Well, and that didn't work in China either. They locked down hard in China, and people finally took to the streets and protested those lockdowns, and then they reversed them. So, of course, if people aren't willing to go along to get along, if they're not willing to obey all these restrictions, then they just won't have any effect. But it's just like it's hard to imagine things being even more homogenous. I mean, the restrictions between country to country were so similar. I mean, there were minor differences across the entire world. Almost every country was forcing people to wear masks. Almost every country had international travel restrictions. I mean, it was all seemingly coming from the same playbook. So, I mean, this certainly doesn't sound good, but it's hard to believe that this could be worse than, I mean, it seems like they're already doing what the WHO wants them to do, so I'm not really sure what this changes.
It'll just be coming from the WHO instead of the United States, basically, because, I mean, this physician, Merrill Nass, told the Epoch Times, if these rules go through as currently defined, I, as a doctor, will be told what I am allowed to give a patient and what I am prohibited from giving a patient. But that was already happening.
That's my point.
The United States was already doing that, so I do see your point.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds bad, and it is bad. I'm not saying, oh, this is fine. This is not fine. It certainly is centralizing things even more, but it wasn't like the CDC was pushing back against the WHO. Like, the CDC and the WHO were buddy-buddy, and what one said, the other did. And
I think what's bad about this is that it's going to set a precedent where countries can just I mean, this precedent's been set. There's things like NATO and the UN, but
it's all centralization.
Countries can just, you know, in this extra national way, just make laws that the people in the country have to obey when they their own, you know, type of government that they're supposed to be able to work through. Then is, you know, powerless to stop it, you know?
Yeah, you're right. It is, right. It's more centralization of quote-unquote authority. It's ceding that idea to this completely unaccountable group. I mean, we were talking about accountability earlier tonight where the NSA can just say state secrets and then the courts will completely leave them alone. I mean, the CDC isn't particularly accountable either. But the WHO is even more disconnected. So, I mean, it's essentially like the UN, basically, now of health organizations, of health regulations. So, yeah, this definitely seems like a bad plan. And I was looking to see if there was anything, because you mentioned that this treaty thing is being heard today. I think you said February 27th was the day on which the WHO is meeting for this, what they call the zero draft. And presumably they're hammering out the details here on this thing as we speak. So it doesn't look like there's any fresh news about, you know, what might have transpired. But whatever it is, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good for human freedom. It's not going to be good for health freedom. And, you know, once again, I just feel like it's going to keep coming back to this more and more often these days. It's like, you're not going to be able to vote your way out of this, right? Like the federal government's moving in this direction of having some quote-unquote World Health Authority come in and force their viewpoint down your doctor's throat. If it gets to the point where your doctors are not willing to go against the CDC and therefore the World Health Organization, that's a real problem, because having different opinions in this area is an important concept.
I mean, these people are going to be able to make medicines that have been proven to work for things illegal just because they're not the medicine they want you to take.
Yeah, they're not politically approved. They're not pouring billions of dollars into pharma companies' pockets like Pfizer or Moderna.
And in this case, it's not even like nobody can call in and say, oh, you libertarians are just paranoid, because, I mean, this literally happened. They outlawed things like hydroxychloroquine and mandated things like remdesivir that were killing people. I mean, those are the things that people should pay more attention to. People should be pointing out the fact that the government mandated things that killed people during COVID. But no, you just hear about COVID deaths. What about remdesivir deaths?
Here's the actual press release from the World Health Organization, WHO.int. This is from back in December. They're talking about the meetings that are happening right now with this zero draft that you mentioned, Bonnie. And this is, who's speaking here? This is one of the co-chairs of this organization, Ms. Matsoso. She said, the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on human lives, economies, and societies at large must never be forgotten. The best chance we have today as a global community to prevent a repeat of the past is to come together in the spirit of solidarity, in a commitment to equity, there's that word again, and in the pursuit of health for all, and develop a global accord that safeguards societies from future pandemic threats.
Because it was such a threat last time. It was such a big deal.
Oh, yeah. A cold that killed 0.01% or something of the people.
The same amount of people died as normally die. It's just
from
that
the flu,
we didn't call it the flu this time.
Yeah.
So we need to protect the world from that again. Ever happening again.
She said that government representatives stressed that any future pandemic accord would need to take into account equity, strengthen preparedness, ensure solidarity, and promote a whole of society and whole of government approach, whatever that means, and respect the sovereignty of countries. I mean, this just sounds like a load of garbage.
Yeah, that's
to
just
me.
Garbage. I mean, this is the opposite of respecting the sovereignty of countries,
right?
When you disregard what the people who are being ruled by these countries say and just go above even their governments that they supposedly elected and just make laws for their doctors to follow. That doesn't even make sense. This lady is on crack?
Well, they're just trying to cover for what's really going on, which is the total centralization and control of health policy. And it's really scary stuff. So once again, what's the answer here? The answer is to get out. Not every country in the world is on board with this. I don't know which countries are, but I suspect it's the bigger ones. You know, there were a couple of countries out there during COVID that actually had kind of went their own way, right? Was it Sweden that wasn't really cracking down on all of the mandates? I know Belarus was one of the freer places as far as COVID is concerned.
Yeah, maybe Sweden too.
I believe it was Sweden, at least for some time. I think they ended up getting worse as things went on, but it's been a while. So there were a couple. And by the way, I'm not saying Belarus is some sort of bastion of human freedom. It's certainly not. But on that particular issue, the authoritarian dictator in Belarus was relatively okay. The only solution here is to get out from the United States. They're not going to be decentralizing power down to your local medical board or your individual doctors in any given area. They're going to threaten these doctors, and they're going to tell them, if you don't get on board with what the WHO says, we're going to strip you of your medical license.
And forget people who are healers that work outside of the traditional medical establishment.
Well, they haven't managed to criminalize that quite yet. As much as the traditional medical establishment might like to make those people illegal, those people do still exist, and they are still able to, you know, to do their practice. They're just not allowed legally to make certain claims, right? So they can't say, well, if you take this bark from this tree over here and you brew some tea with it, that'll cure cancer. You know, even if it does cure cancer, they're not allowed to actually say that, because then the FDA will come in and destroy their livelihoods.
Well, this says that the WHO pandemic, agreement calls for member states to implement, quote, one health surveillance.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
One health, like the O and the H is capitalized. It's like okay. The name of the surveillance. It's a concept that has been embraced by the United Nations, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the World Bank, and other global organizations.
Sounds terrible. Does it actually say what it does?
The term originally meant a way of seeing human and animal health as linked. They sometimes are, so that you could improve human health by acting more broadly. Someone named Bill said, it has become hijacked and is now used to claim that all human activities and all issues within the biosphere affect health and are therefore within public health's remit.
Are we talking about an app here that everybody's going to be forced to have?
Because it's more of a program. Like,
all right.
Well, everything is related, so it's all public health, so we have a jurisdiction over it all.
More coming up.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.